All right, good afternoon, everyone. Can you please tell the person beside you for a while, I'm so glad you are here this afternoon. Come on, just give them a warm handshake for a while. Just give them a warm handshake. All right. You know, this afternoon, we are teeing off with a brand new series. It's called Truth Be Told. We're just coming from our All and Nothing series. We talked about Beyond Borders right after that, if you remember. This afternoon, we are starting off with this series, and this is going to run for 8 long weeks. Okay, now, what is this series all about? Okay, truth be told, this series is basically, unlike All and Nothing, this is not a book review, but instead, we are going to look into the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I don't know with you, but if you're reading your Bible, you know, there are times wherein Jesus wouldn't tell stories plainly, he would use parables. So, if you want to understand, if you want to know what a parable is, number one, you know, a parable basically is a story. And the very quick or very strict definition of a parable is this one. A parable is what? It simply means to put alongside. So whenever we start talking about a parable, it's basically something like this. You know, Jesus would look at the environment of his audience, and after picking something, he would get something, and he would incorporate the truth of God in it, and he would try to deliver it to his people. All right? Now, you know, I don't know with you, is there any of you here who is a teacher? Can I see your hand for a while? You're a teacher. You know, teachers, you're always in front of students every single day. All right? Now, the reason why I've asked that is simply because, you know, teachers, together with those whose job is communicating on a daily basis, you're always faced with a task every single day to be able to what? To have the ability to give the message across your audience. Okay? In fact, if you look at this in the presentation world, there's a book that talks about the presentation secrets of Steve Jobs. All right? You guys know this guy. Of course, it's the late Steve Jobs now. But he was basically the architect behind the success of Apple Company. Truth of the matter is, there's something about how we present things that will always make people buy an Apple product. Okay, even if the product doesn't really have, you know, that much of a feature compared to other products, because of the way it was presented, people start buying it. Right? Now, if you would try to look at the presentation style or the presentation secrets of the Lord Jesus Christ, one of those is giving out parables. Can everybody say that with me for a while? Parables. All right. How would Jesus craft a parable? The parables that he shared to all of his audiences are basically summarized into something like this. This is the presentation of his parables. It would progress from getting a picture, and then it would progress into that picture becoming a mirror and a window. What does it mean? It's as simple as this one. Jesus would always stop his audience, the crowd right in front of him, and then he would get a picture. It could be a fig tree, it could be whatever that is common, that everyone can relate with. So he's going to start, you know, saying stories about this picture. He's going to share something about this picture, this tree is like this. And then as he progresses with this story, people start thinking, wait a minute, I feel like that he's talking about that tree, but he is pertaining to my life. That's why the picture becomes a mirror. That's why you would observe in your Bible, if you would read your Bible, if you would read the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ, a lot of times, when he starts talking about all of these parables, some people would actually walk away because they feel offended, all right? Because they feel like the picture has become a mirror. But because they walked away, they forgot or they missed out on the last one, which is what? Looking into the window of God's grace. So here's my prayer for all of us here this afternoon. You know, we're going to be in this for 8 long weeks. Of looking into the parables, different parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer is very simple. I hope and pray that we will have an honest and humble heart. Because truth of the matter is, parables require honesty and humility in order to be understood and embraced. Again, that is my prayer for all of us. I want us to turn our Bibles for a while. We're going to be reading, you know, one of the most significant parables of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the parable of the sower. I think this is found in the 3 gospel accounts that talks about this. Luke chapter 8, verses 5 down to verse 15. Look at this one. Let me start with verse 5. It says here, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Verse 7 says, some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil, the first soil, and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they heard the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing and suffering, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Last verse. And as for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. All right, first things first. You know, if you look at this story or the parable of the sower, we're looking at 10 verses here, verse 5 down to verse 15. But if you want to do a careful study of this text, you can actually go up until verse 18. Okay, maybe later when you go home. But for the purposes of our discussion here this afternoon, we're going to be limiting ourselves with the 10 verses starting with verse 5 down to verse 15. Okay, now, let me just try to explain something for about this specific parable is actually divided into two parts. And knowing these two parts will actually be very helpful for us. Okay, as we look into this parable. This parable is divided into two parts, and that is what? The narration and the explanation. If you would observe, you know, Jesus started sharing the story. That's the first part of the parable. He started talking about the seed that fell on this soil right here, the seed that fell on this soil right here, the birds taking the seed and something like that. The second part is basically the explanation of what he was narrating. So what we're going to do here this afternoon is very simple. We're going to look at this verse by verse, and then after that, we're going to connect the meaning on the second part on the first part. All right, are you guys okay with that one? Okay, let's start with the first verse here. Luke chapter 8, verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed. Now, I do understand that a lot of us have read this story already. Maybe some of you growing up, you've heard a lot of preachings about this. I do understand that all of us here are excited to learn about the four kinds of soils. Okay, the different categories of soil. But guess what? Before we get to understand that, this verse right here is actually the cornerstone of the story. If you don't understand half of this verse, there's no way that you're going to understand the entire parable. Okay, so first things first. A sower went out to sow his seed. I have here a picture of a sower. This is what he was pertaining to. It's actually as simple as that. Now, like what I told you a while ago, just for us to be reminded as we go through this, a parable is a story that teaches something new by putting the truth alongside something familiar. The picture of the sower right here is a familiar scene. Can everybody say familiar? Meaning to say, it's an everyday sight in Jesus' time. So what he's doing was that he's getting something that is familiar and he's incorporating the truth of God and it is delivering it to his people. You know, I don't really think that, you know, if Jesus would be living in our time, I don't really think it's going to use the parable of the sower. Okay, because this is not all too familiar with all of us here. Maybe Pokemon Go is a good parable that is going to allude to. Why? Because it is something that is familiar. Okay, but during their time, what is familiar are groups of people sowing seeds. That's why he took advantage of it and tried what? Sending out a message using the story of the sower. Okay, the sower went out to sow his seed. Now, if you look at the corresponding verse of verse 5, like what I told you, it's narration and explanation. The explanation for verse 5 is actually in verse 11. And Jesus himself started explaining this. Look at this one. Here's what he said. Now, the parable is this. He said, the seed is the word of God. Clear enough, right? So it's like saying, okay, a sower went out to sow a seed. Keep in mind, he's just using a picture, but what he says that, take note that the seed, he himself said, is God's word. The full counsel of his word. It's actually as simple as that. A sower went out to sow his seed. So whenever you look at seed right here in this text, seed always refers to the word of God. All right? Now, how will that apply to all of us here this afternoon? Whenever we start talking about the word of God, we're talking about what? The things that you read in your Bible. Right? These are the seeds that are being planted in you. Okay? The preachings that you hear every single Sunday. The Bible verses that you get to read on your newsfeed, on your Facebook. All of these things are the seeds. Okay, anything that has the word of God in it is actually the seed. I'm just trying to lay a foundation here for us to understand this. Now that we know the seed, here's the next question. Who is the sower? Who do you think? The sower here is God himself. All right? So the picture is something like this. Of course, that is my own emphasis. Okay? A sower, God, went out to sow his word. All right? Wait a minute, Archie, but how does that apply in our time right now? Because I'm the one preaching the word. Exactly. Precisely. You know, the sower there can actually be us. But take note, we are still being used by God to sow his word. Right? So the sower here pertains to you. But at the end of the day, there's always someone behind your sowing. And that is God himself. All right? The sower here is God. And the seed here is his very word. You know, when I was looking at this text right here in Luke chapter 8, verse 5, you know, I realized this half of a verse in itself is already a preaching of the gospel. Why? Because this actually talks about what? Jesus' incarnation and his message of salvation. In what sense? Look at this one. A sower went out, clothed himself with flesh and blood. Incarnation, incarnate. Take note, stepped out of heaven, went to us here, and started what? Giving his message of salvation. That in itself is already a preaching of the gospel. So that basically solidifies the message that Jesus would want to deliver to the people around him. You know, a couple of months ago, I think almost a year ago, you know, my sister, together with some of her friends, they opened a small coffee shop in Manila. And my wife and I got to visit their coffee shop, I think three times or twice already. You know, we've observed something. On the tables in the coffee shop, they carefully scattered all of these coffee beans on the table. So here you are, you're having coffee, you're studying, you're typing, and then you smell the aroma of the coffee because the coffee beans are scattered on the table. By the way, coffee beans are seeds. FYI lang, all right? You know, the coffee beans were scattered on the table. Now, look at this. As much as that looks cute, at the end of the day, we all know that that is not the purpose of the coffee beans. You folks catch that? You ever had this project back in elementary? Your teacher would ask you to glue all of the seeds in an illustration board and put it on the wall or something like that. It looks cute. It looks nice. But we all know that that is not the purpose of a seed. It might be aesthetically nice, but at the end of the day, we all understand that to keep the seed is a deviation to its purpose. Well, I mean, here, you can honestly say that you enjoy being a Christian. Yung iba hindi kayo enjoy? Ba't nandito kayo? Now, I don't know with you, but look at this one. Can you just imagine this? Can you imagine your life right now? You already have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment you wake up in the morning, you know that God loves you. It's not a wishful thinking. That's a fact. You know it as a Christian. The moment you close your eyes in the evening, you know that God loves you regardless of what happened during the day. It's something that's never happened in your life before. That's why we really appreciate people who preach the Word of God to us. Amen? We appreciate people who invited us to the church, and we appreciate God's Word right now. And right now, when you start reading God's Word, it speaks to you like never before. But guess what? As much as this is beneficial to you, as much as you are enjoying your life right now, at the end of the day, God's Word is not meant to be kept to yourself. God has called us to go out there and start sowing the seed. To keep the seed is a deviation to its purpose. Because a seed is not meant to be kept, it is meant to be sowed. God Himself gave a very clear picture for all of us. Listen, I want us to understand this. As a Christian, if you call yourself a Christian, it is but inevitable that you have to be preaching God's Word. We don't have to be wait to be given a platform right here or be a pastor to start preaching. We don't have to wait for us to memorize the entire Bible for us to start evangelizing. The moment you become a Christian, it is but automatic for us to start sowing the seed, to start preaching the gospel for that matter. That's why it says here in verse 5, He went out. I don't know, maybe that is God's call for some of us here right now, to learn to go out, learn to speak up, learn to sow the seed. Okay, maximize your social media. Hindi yung puro selfie nyo lang. Minsan, may verse nga, tapos may mukha mo. Hindi ko maintindihan yung ganun. Nag-selfie ka, tapos may verse. Ano ibig sabihin nun? Okay lang pag nilagay mo that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Next naman. Pili ka na lang, fearfully ba or wonderfully? Let's look at the three types of soil that he started talking about here. Look at this one. In verse 5, the second part of verse 5, down to verse 7. In three verses to be exact, he started giving out a picture of the three types of soil. Basically, there are four. I'm going to reserve the last one for all of us here this afternoon. Let's talk about the three types of soil here. He said, as he started sowing, other Bible translation says scatter. He would scatter the seed. It says here, some fell, look at this one, along the path and was trampled underfoot. Not just trampled, but the birds of the air devoured it. Right? Yung mga maya, kinuha yung mga seeds. In verse 6, and some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. The last one, it says here, some fell among the thorns. So it gives us a picture that there were three types of soil that were basically represented here. First one, along the path, on the rock, and among the thorns. Along the path, on the rock, and among the thorns. Okay? Now, think with me for a while. If you're here this afternoon and you know a thing or two about botany, or you know a thing or two about gardening, right? People say those who love gardening, they have green thumb. Or let's say you know a thing or two about agriculture or farming. Oh, you love plants. Or you have a beautiful garden at home, or you're dreaming of a garden in the future. And because the sight of a garden would actually relax us. Amen? That's why we put that in our own homes. Now look at this one. If you try to look at this just logically, just reading this passage right here, you would come to understand. You have along the path that was trampled upon, the three types of soil, on the rock. If you would look at that closely, you would come to understand that there is a malpractice here. There is a malpractice here. What is a malpractice? Come to imagine with me. If you are a wise sower, why in the world would you scatter the seeds everywhere? If I am a good gardener, I will make sure that I will only put the seeds where it will grow. Meaning to say, it's always just the good soil. So why do we have a sower here that scatters? Alam mo, parang naglalaro. It's just basically scattering the seeds everywhere. You know what this verse is teaching all of us here this afternoon? It gives us a picture. Again, seed is God's word. It gives us a picture that we worship an impartial God. He will sow the seed anywhere regardless of the condition of the soil. In fact, if you come to think of it, all of us will not be here if we were all good soil in the first place. The reason why you're here, because we were soils that were trampled upon. Come on now. But someone invited you and Jesus turned you into a good soil. So the lesson for us also, sorry, is we don't judge the condition of the soil. Our job and our responsibility is to merely sow. If you would look at the attitude that God has here, it is just something that is profound. It gives us a picture that even for those people who are angry at Him for no apparent reason, He would still sow the seeds in them. For people who do not have a relationship with Him, He would still sow a seed on them. So that at the end of the day, men are without excuse. That every single person in this world basically had the opportunity to respond as a soil to the one that the sower basically sowed. It gives us a picture that we worship an impartial God. Let me just try to clarify something first, okay? Let's say this is the seed right here. Okay, this is the seed. Diba? Siguro, pag tinanim mo, gano'ng kalaking puno kaya to? Just for the purpose of illustration. Here's the problem with us Christians. Okay lang ba? Sabihin ko yung problem natin. Minsan arrogant tayo, diba? Tama ba yun? Minsan yung Christians may pagka-arrogant. In what sense? If you read this verse, truth of the matter is, we would automatically think that the seed that we're talking about here is only for unbelievers. Sometimes we think, okay, I am in category number 4 because I'm a Christian, I'm always the good soil. Whenever you start talking about the crowded soil, the shallow soil, it's always the unbelievers. Guess what? That is actually true. The story actually pertains to people who do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's being offered as a seed. But at the end of the day, I want us to understand, this story doesn't just apply to them, it also applies to us. Why? In what sense? Guess what? Because I was telling you a while ago that the seed is what? The seed is the Word of God. Guess what? It is the full counsel of God's Word, not just the gospel accounts of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel accounts of the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, it applies to unbelievers for them to be regenerated. But when it comes to the full counsel of God's Word, it is for every single one of us. Meaning to say, at times, I'm not saying all the time, at times, we are a good soil when it comes to worshiping God or serving in a ministry, but we are a terrible soil when it comes to other aspects of our lives. Sometimes we are a good soil when it comes to church attendance, but when it comes to tithing, which is an act of worship, we are one terrible soil. So at the end of the day, I want us to understand, as we start enumerating, as we start making a quick rundown of the different soils, the types of soil here this afternoon, I want us to open our hearts and ask God, Lord, am I that kind of soil? Just forget about being a good soil for a while. Just think about the 3 types of soil and try to identify yourself with any of the 3 types of soil that we're going to talk about here this afternoon. And then, like what I told you, a picture becomes a mirror. We're going to look at the window of God's grace in our lives so that God will change us and turn us into a good soil. Amen? Let's try talking about the 3 types of soil here this afternoon. Luke chapter 8, verse 8, it says here, look at this one. I alluded to verse 8 before talking about the 3 types of soil. This is actually on the latter part of the story. It says here, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Read the entire parable later and count the number of times at which the word hear appears. You would come to understand that the word hear appears 9 times in this specific parable. Guess what? At the end of the day, this is not just a matter of preaching. This is about a matter of hearing. Friends, look, the issue here is not about whether the preaching is lousy or great. The issue here is whether we listened and heard and started applying it in our lives. The word here means what? Listening with what? Receptivity. Do you folks realize that we can actually ask an 8-year-old guy to come up here and start opening the Bible and start reading it to us? Even if that 8-year-old boy would stutter, at the end of the day, it's not about how eloquent or fluent he was, it's how you were receptive at the time that he was reading God's word. Because if you would look at the story of the soil, the common denominator is all of them heard. The good soil heard, the crowded soil heard, the shallow soil heard, the trampled upon soil heard, the hardened soil heard. The difference is how they responded to God's word. Let's look at the first one. The first one is what? The hardened soil. Let's talk about the hardened soil for a while. By the way, when we start talking about soil here, we're talking about the condition of our heart. Okay? Hawakan niyo muna yung heart niyo. Okay pa ba? If the seed is God's word, the soil here is the condition of our heart. First one is the hardened soil. Where do we find it? Verse 5. Look at this one. As he sowed, some fell among the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Okay, you get a picture. Guess what? Like what I told you, narration, explanation. The explanation comes in verse 12. Here it is. It says here, the ones along the path are those who have heard, just like all of us. Those who have heard, then guess what? The devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. So he starts talking about the birds devouring the seed. Here, this is the only time that the word devil or the devil is mentioned in this entire parable. Now, how do we understand what a hardened soil is? I have here a picture of a rice field. How many have ever tried planting rice before or kahit corn? I think that's a very wonderful experience. Never tried one. Whenever you go to a rice field, you look at a rice paddy, it's mud all over. I mean, you have a muddy pool to your left, muddy pool to your right. Guess what? The only place where you get to pass is that path right there. But the thing here is, you cannot plant rice there. Why? Because it has been trampled upon. Meaning to say, it has been hardened. Because people, farmers, would always walk on that path. Having said that, it gives us a picture that a hardened soil, just like this one, pertains to a hardened heart. In what sense? I want us to think about this by throwing this question, who or what frequently walks, quote-unquote, on your heart? What are the things that doesn't honor God that is trampling on your heart right now? All right, folks, with me. You read your Bible, you would come to understand that our hearts become hardened when we are unrepentant. Let me say that again. You read your Bibles, you would come to understand that a person's heart becomes hardened if they refuse to repent. If they refuse to change their ways. That's why sin will always progress. Why? Kasi naging manhid na yung heart mo at this specific sin right here. That's why you keep on progressing. That's why our hearts become hardened for that matter. Then it says here, the devil comes to steal or to take away the words from our heart. I want us to understand this, friends. Together with that question, I want to throw this question to everyone. And I want us to ponder upon this. Again, you will never understand a parable if you don't have a humble heart. Amen? I hope and pray that we become receptive with God's word here this afternoon. Look at this one. What are those things in your life right now that God wants you to repent from? What are those thoughts, practices, words, deeds that you are currently doing as a Christian that God wants you to repent from? Guess what? You better learn to repent or learn to repent before your heart becomes hardened. That's a little awkward, okay? It says here, the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. I want us to understand this. Do you folks realize that the devil cannot and will not take anything from you unless you do not give a fight? What is my point? Just imagine this with me. The birds came and took the seeds. Why? Because you don't care about the seed. Why in the world are the seeds left unprotected? So at the end of the day, this gives us a picture of how much, what? How much we value God's Word. If we are not filled with God's Word, guess what? The little thing that we have will be taken away from us. Folks, listen carefully. You would observe this in your life. It will be a lot easier for you to fall into sin if you don't have God's Word in you. Try a single day, try 2 days, try a week without God's Word. You will find yourself in sin. I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you how important God's Word is. If you don't give Him a fight, He will always take things away from us. It says here, those who have heard, then the devil comes. You know what Jesus is telling us here? Jesus is basically telling us, the moment you heard, the devil comes. What are we talking about, Archie? Guess what? Right after this service, the devil comes and he will try to steal your word. The word that has been sowed in you. It gives me a picture that, you know what? There is a sense of urgency for the devil. It gives me a picture that the devil does not procrastinate. So if we procrastinate in our Bible reading, mauunahan tayo ng devil. You guys are so silent. The next type of soil that we have here, other than the hardened soil, is the shallow soil. Look at this one. In verse 6, it says here, some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away. Because what? It had no moisture. Ay, kailangan pala ng tubig. Kailangan po. The explanation is basically in verse 13. It says here, and the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, it says here, receive it with joy. You know, you're always glad whenever you're in church. Right? I mean, fellowship is something that really makes us feel good. We love worshiping. We love listening to the preaching of God's word. We receive God's word with joy. Then it says here, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in times of testing, they fall away. If you were here last week, we talked about suffering. And that is basically what we're talking about. You know, the shallow soil here, based on Jesus' parables, are people what? Who don't have a good foundation. He's basically telling us that as Christians, we shouldn't be basing our worship to God just merely on our emotions. At the end of the day, I want us to understand that adrenaline and anointing are two different things. God's anointing in your life will keep you going even if the going gets tough. But adrenaline, hype, it's only when the music is good. Come on now. It's only when there's smoke machine. It's only during what? Monday youth service when everybody's so loud? It's only when we have a lot of money in our pockets? But truth of the matter is we understand the leaves aren't always green. As much as you're enjoying summer right now, winter is on the horizon. Winter is coming. He said, those who are a shallow type of soil are those who cannot what? Give moisture. Those who cannot commit in their Christian faith. I don't know, maybe some of you here will be brought out there in Dubai or in Jordan. When you're all alone without this church community, will you still love God? Will you still hold fast to His Word? That will determine if you are a good soil or a shallow soil for that matter. That's why, friends, discipleship is important. That's why it's important for us to walk this faith with several people around us. The next kind of soil here is the crowded soil. A few more things and we're going to end. This is the third type of soil here. Look at this one. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. The explanation is in verse 14. It says here, as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. Now you catch this. All of them basically heard the counsel of God's word. But as they go on their way, they are what? They are choked by the cares. Look at this one. Not just the problem, but guess what? Even the testimonies. the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Why? You stagnate because you've forgotten about God. You feel like you have become what? Self-sustaining, for that matter. It says here, the pleasures and the riches of life, just like this picture right here. This is what Jesus is talking about. He said, when things will fall right in place for you, be careful. You might become a crowded soil. When you have the money, you might forget about praying to me for provision. You might even forget that I am the giver of your money. When you have wonderful relationships around you, no problem. Those are great testimonies. But at the end of the day, let me just borrow a quote from Tim Keller. Here's what he said. If anything becomes more fundamental than God to your happiness, meaning of life, and identity, then it has become an idol. Jesus is basically saying that it's not just the trial. It is not just the suffering. But even the wonderful things, be careful that those things will not crowd you, that you might lose focus, that you might not give God the worship that is due His name. Hardened soil, an unrepentant heart, shallow soil, no foundation, crowded soil, lost focus, embraced something instead of embracing God, worshiped something else instead of worshiping God. Three different types of soil. If you try to assess your hearts right now, Lord, where am I in that category? Ladies and gentlemen, our goal here is to become the last soil. And that is what? The good soil. The good soil. And that is our prayer. Look at this one. Our prayer is that every single aspect of our life will become a good soil. Because the truth is, if you read verse 18, it starts talking about what? Whoever has, to him will be given more. I pray that every single aspect of our life, relationships, is it a good soil? Finance. Can you be trusted with money? Are you a good soil when it comes to money? Your testimony at home. What does your parents think about your Christianity? How about your testimony in the workplace? Are you becoming a salt and light in the workplace? Are you becoming a good soil? What is a good soil? Verse 8. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. Explanation is in verse 15. I like this. And for that in a good soil, there are those who, hearing the word, just like the three other types of soil, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. All right. We're going to end this. First things first. What do we observe? We have observed that all types of soil, all of them heard the word of God. All types of soil have seeds sown in them. So here's the question. What makes a good soil a good soil? Who am I here? You want to be a good soil. What makes a good soil a good soil? It's actually found in that verses. In verse 15 specifically, look at this one. Here's what it says. Hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. Number one, it says, you hear the word. You want to be a good soil? Let your heart be receptive to God's word. But not just that, it's not just talking about hearing. The second one is very, very important. It says here what? Hold it fast. Delight in it. Look into it. Meditate on it. Guess what? Apply it in your life. So that, what's going to happen? It will bear fruit. How do we become a good soil? It says here, we have to have a what? An honest and good heart. You know what is striking here? Folks, listen to this. It doesn't say you become a good soil when you are morally perfect. It simply says you become a good soil if you're honest. You're just honest. You made these blunders. You made these mistakes, Lord. These are my mistakes, God. Like what I told you, God will sow seeds regardless of the soil. Many say, there's no pretension. There's no, I am a Christian guy pretension. A church person pretension. If you made a mistake, you made a mistake. You become a good soil when you're honest, not when you're morally perfect. When was the last time you've actually brought someone in and told that person, being your accountability partner, whom you're accountable into, of course, that you've told that person, man, these are the mistakes that I did. Can you please pray for me? Then it says here, you bear fruit with patience. If you look at bearing fruit right here, it is automatic. Once you have an honest and humble heart, you start bearing fruit. You know why? Remember what the Bible says. We produce fruit in keeping with repentance. You know, I don't know with you, but if I read this parable and any other verses in the Bible that starts talking about fruit, do you folks realize it doesn't talk about ripe fruits? It just says fruit. It's not talking about a ripe kind of fruit. It just says fruit. Meaning to say what? The Bible is not about what? Perfection. It's about progression. Kahit yung fruit mo ngayon, ganyan lang kalit na color green pa, at least you are bearing fruit. There is progression that is happening in your life. That is basically what God wants to see in your life. He wants us to start bearing fruit. Not to be perfect, but at least to make progress by making steps of repentance along the way. That way, we become a good soil. Amen. I want to end this with this quote right here. And I hope this will serve as an encouragement for all of us. As Christians, we have to learn how to move past the first, second, and third soil and be the fourth soil, which is the good soil, by holding fast to the word with an honest and humble heart.